Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio at blogtalkradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Aleto and Will TLD Vapidez.
Tonight's episode of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio is brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Sign up today for a free audiobook and a free, absolutely positively free, 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/PWPRadio. Remember to include that /PWPRadio. So they know we sent you. Once again, audibletrial.com/PWPRadio. Everybody who signs up helps support the show. Thank you very much and enjoy Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio here at blogtalkradio.com. That's right. It is prowrestlingpowerhouse.com here for our usual show, but it's not on Tuesdays. No, it is on Wednesdays as of tonight. As Greg DeMarco has been doing a great job on Tuesdays, we have moved our usual show to Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. And yes, this is the one and only TLD here, and you cannot have a show without my
TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
Okay, I just wanted to know that song is quite old. I need to update it. Anyway, we have a great show tonight to talk about some great news in the last week in pro wrestling, but I cannot start the show without my main man, Mr. The Heel of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, Toph. Toph, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm just adapting to Wednesdays.
Yeah, Wednesday is a weird time. You know, it's been weird. Today, not only is Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio now on Wednesday nights for us, but also it fucking snowed today. Can you
really
believe it? I went outside and there was ice on my windshield, snow on the ground. I couldn't even get the ice off the back of my windshield. I took a huge shovel and started shoveling the back of my windshield, and nothing came off. So, yes, I drove with a snow-covered back window.
That sucks, man. Sorry you got snow in April. That's very unusual.
April 16, 2014. Mark it on your calendars. We had snow. Oh, God damn it, Toph. We just had 3 days of beautiful weather, and now we got snow. What the hell is going on in this world?
I can definitely relate. We're still recovering from that ice storm back in February. Weather has been very unusual this year.
Yes, weather has been very unusual. You know, I've complained about it every time we were on a show. But tonight, let's talk about some great things that happened in the last week of pro wrestling. We already recapped WrestleMania 30. Me and you both did that, and you went on your huge, huge rant about The Undertaker losing the streak. I have to ask you now, just to go, if you go back and watch our WrestleMania 30 recap, Hope was hosting the show and got pretty agitated on the fact that Brock Lesnar defeated The Undertaker after a long, long 21-0 streak at WrestleMania. You were pretty upset. We now have had a week to kind of go through everything. In fact, we did not know this but till later on, but The Undertaker did have a serious concussion throughout that match and collapsed backstage, had to go to the hospital along with Vince McMahon going with him, leaving the biggest show of the year. So, Toph, after hearing all the news about what happened, what are your now initial thoughts of Brock Lesnar beating The Undertaker for the streak, not to mention Paul Heyman's promo the night after?
I've calmed down a bit, but it's one of those situations where I don't respect – I'm sorry. What I meant to say was it's one of those situations where I don't like the decision, but I will respect Taker's decision to do so. I've been reading some reports. From what I've understanding, a lot of people, and you know, in the top production trucks in WWE, were not happy with the reaction that the Undertaker got when he lost. I guess they expected fans to be more sympathetic, to be more shocked. This is going to sound kind of strange, especially since the Warrior passed away in real life. But when Taker's streak ended, I can compare it to a real person that you care about dying. You know what I mean? Taker, you know, that's 20-plus years of the streak. And there were many fans, myself included, that thought that Taker would just retire undefeated. I never, ever thought that Taker would lose. So when Taker lost, it's like when someone you care about dies in real life. You can't really comment about how you feel at first because you're kind of lost. You're in shock. You kind of need to think about it a little bit. I just think that fans were in shock. They didn't really know what they just saw. You know what I mean? And, you know, I mean, I still thought the match was bad. I still thought the build was bad. And, you know, Brock Lesnar winning and stuff. Like, I guess what I'm really trying to say, what really upsets me still is it really took me out of the show. You don't end Taker's streak and then just continue on the show like that didn't just happen. That clearly killed the crowd. And I could see that by watching it like twice. I've watched the show like three times now. No one cared during the Divas match. And they were almost dead for the entire main event until Triple H came out there. You know, I hope Taker gets better. You know, I hope this isn't the last we've seen of him. And, you know, I've gotten over it. I'm not as mad as it now. I'm more calm about it right now. It's just one of those things, you know?
Yeah, I feel you, man. I came from a side of a business perspective, and I've come from a side of a pro wrestling perspective. You know, if this is indeed the last match for The Undertaker, usually you are to retire and basically lose your last match. And that's how, you know, the industry kind of does it. It's a norm that if you are leaving the company or you're going to at least be going to retire out of the company, this you usually will give a rub to somebody. Now, in this case, Brock Lesnar was the rub. Now, if you listen to Stone Cold, Chris Jericho's podcast, they both felt that he was the right kind of a guy to end the streak, only because he is, if there was someone you could look at and who looks like a legit badass and actually can destroy someone and possibly beat the streak in reality, if this was not a scripted or pro wrestling environment, you know Brock Lesnar would be the right guy to beat The Undertaker.
Yes, I agree there.
Yeah, so that's where you have to take away the script out of it, that if they're legit, if you were to put these two in a cage, you probably would pick Brock Lesnar, and that's just the truth. You know, I mean, Brock Lesnar's just a big, big dude. It was a very shocking moment. Tilt, do you think, now we talked about after WrestleMania on the recap show, you can catch that show, by the way, here at Blog Talk Radio. Also, go on iTunes and also subscribe to our show. We're on there. My God, we're lower than most people, and they haven't even, like, had a show in a year, and we're still below those people. So try to subscribe. Not try. Just go fucking do it. Go try. Go on iTunes and subscribe to our show. But do you feel, Toe, that The Undertaker has wrestled his last match?
No. No, not at all. And if he hasn't wrestled his last match, if he has wrestled his last match, then he needs to have some type of appearance later on to further result. If that was his last match, then WWE needs to improvise, and later on he needs to have some kind of appearance where they can write him off the right way. Because the general reaction was, like when Ric Flair, when HBK beat him, he got a standing ovation. Fans knew, okay, that's it for Flair, it's over. When Taker beat Shawn Michaels, fans gave Shawn Michaels a standing ovation. Fans knew it was over. Like, fans were sad when Flair and HBK retired, but there was a general consensus of, like, okay, it's over. We understand it's over. They're done. Taker didn't have that reaction. Go back and watch the show. It was not that reaction at all. Fans were just kind of like, what? Like, huh? Like, what? it's like your favorite team and they lose and you just never thought they'd lose. Like, what? Like, is this going to lead to an angle? Is this going to lead to, like you know, it, fans, no, and Taker's loss did not have that kind of reaction. Taker's reaction, Taker's loss was more of a shock value, more so than, what I'm trying to say is, Taker's loss, it didn't give off the he's done vibe. It was just kind of like, what did we just see vibe? You know what I'm saying? So if he's done, they need to do something to, like, further convince the fans, okay, he's done. You know what I'm saying? That's the vibe that it gave me. But I don't personally think he's done.
Well, you know, I want to go to a posting on our Pro Wrestling Powerhouse page. You know, this was something that that maybe some people might agree with. This is coming from Red Violente on our Facebook page. The streak, and I quote, it's a Michael Cole thing now, the streak should have never been ended. He should have won and then lost a retirement match to Brock at SummerSlam if he wanted to give Brock respect, or Cesaro if they wanted to give heat rubs. I don't know what that means, but I guess it's rub heat. I don't know what the hell that means. Anyway, it was just stupid, and if it was Taker's idea, it is still stupid. So basically, he calls The Undertaker stupid for his decision. You know the
well,
guy
again,
had
like
a
I...
concussion in the middle of the ring? I don't know if he knew that. But
yeah, yeah. Again, this is one of those situations where it's, I don't like the decision, but I will respect Taker's decision because you can always respect him as a performer. However, but one thing I will say, like, to end the Taker thing, because, you know, we've talked about this a lot, I am in the minority of people that believe that the potential dream match between Taker and Sting would actually be better without the streak. That's just me, though.
Well, you know, based on, and we're going to probably talk about that a little bit later, but about maybe that possibility, but, you know, I'm sure Taker will be coming back to television. I don't think he'll come back anytime soon. I think this would be something that would be a selling point for SummerSlam, to have The Undertaker come out and talk about what happened, rather than having that just come out and talk about it. Because I think if we haven't heard from The Undertaker since that, that is a selling point, because you're going to want to hear what The Undertaker has to say about this matter, because it's a big deal. It's the biggest moment in wrestling history. I would say it's probably the top five most shocking moments or biggest moments in wrestling. That's how big this moment, I believe, was. That's the kind of reaction that news outlets were covering that. That's how big that was. Everyone was talking to me at work, like, I heard about The Undertaker losing a streak or, you know, a guy, you know, something that normally non-wrestling fans would talk to me about, were talking to me about it.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a big deal. I have an uncle who used to watch wrestling all the time. He was a big fan of wrestling during the 80s and 90s. He started a family, like, in 99. He doesn't really watch wrestling anymore. And 2 days after WrestleMania, he called me, and he was like, I heard The Undertaker lost. And he's like, that can't be. He was like, tell me it's a rumor. I'm like, no, man, it happened. And he was literally in shock. So there's people that don't even watch wrestling anymore. And then they heard about Taker's streak losing, and it's making them want to watch Raw in the hopes of seeing Taker, you know? So it's definitely a big deal.
Right. And I don't. And again, we don't know if that will happen. We have to wait. I personally think that he needs to come to a pay-per-view to explain what's going on. But I think it's good to hold off on it. I don't think they have to do that right now. I think they truly
Yeah, I believe
the
concussion probably held things back. I think whatever they were going to do, he probably would have showed up the very next night, but he had a concussion and he was released. There's a really depressing clip, too. It's like on Instagram. Like, some fan was at the hospital where Taker was at. Like, he was leaving the hospital, and he was getting on the bus, and he was struggling just to get on the bus. He had to, like, use two canes or something. So the guy's pretty beat up.
Yeah, you know, and for fact, and to me, when the fact that Vince McMahon left WrestleMania to be with The Undertaker at the hospital, I mean, there's nothing fake about that. That's just like, you know, the guy cares about a man who's been a part. Who's like a father, a family guy to him, and he took a beating in that match. And you know, you can see why you can honestly understand why the match was not a 5-star match. You know, maybe a 3 or 2-star at best, only because, you know, the way The Undertaker was trying to hang on to that match. You know, at that point, you have to rely on Brock Lesnar.
I'm just confused, mainly TLD. The thing that's confusing me is, like, I understand Taker's getting old, but, you know, he looked good last year. His match with Punk was good. That six-man he had on Raw was...
Well, you have to give a lot of credit to Punk on that one. I would not... A lot of times you have your dance partner has to be just as good as you are, you know.
But didn't you think he looked good in the six-man, too?
Well, you have to rely on yourself. I believe CM Punk, because of his age and because of his quickness, he had a lot to do with that. So, and remember, every year you go by, you're going to get slower. You're going to get, you know, you're not going to be as fast as you used to be. You know, if, especially with Taker has as many injuries as he does. You know, so I think a lot of that has to do with his dance partner. Brock Lesnar is not a CM Punk-type wrestler who is going to be flying around the ring. He's just going to punch and kick you and give you, like, power moves like he did in that match. But it's not going to be – it's going to be a big man versus big man match. And that does not – you know, when was the last time a big man versus big man match stood out to you that was like, you know, a top quality match? It's really not.
Yeah, but he still looked good in the six-man tag.
The six-man tag. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Remember Team Hell No and Taker against the Shield? That was a good match. You looked good then, too.
Well, you know, again – there's a lot of guys carrying Taker in that one, too. So you got to remember, again, I'm just going through a straight one-on-one match. And it's obviously clear that – and staying in Taker is a possibility, but we don't – how is that match really going to work? I mean, if the Undertaker was as bad this year, how can he possibly do another match? Especially on a guy like Sting who's not in the best condition either. That match may not be a match that may stand out. I mean, on paper, it looks cool. But when you actually see the match, I think people might be disappointed in that.
It's not about the match itself. It's about the moment. Hogan-Andre wasn't a good match, but everybody remembers when he slammed Andre. For Taker Sting,
yeah.
It's not the match fans want to see. It's the visual and the build to the match, the mind games and the promos. That's what fans want to see. The match itself, that's just like the cream on top of the cake. But I highly doubt the fans... I've never really seen fans talk about, like, how would a Sting-Taker match go? I've always seen fans talk about how the promos go, with Taker playing mind games and Sting hanging out in the rafters and the Sting army and the Sting clones and the fake Stings and the druids, you know, just the cool visuals and the promos and stuff. Like, just the visual, like Hulk Hogan versus The Rock, that match was average, but just the visual of those two being in the ring just, you know, it just told the story. I don't know if that makes any sense or not. But, yeah.
No, it absolutely does. But that goes to my point of how you were so upset at the WrestleMania recap. You were so upset because the match was so bad that you felt that Brock Lesnar did not deserve it based on that performance. So going back to that, that's something you said on the recap show, that you thought that match was so bad that because of that reason, that was like one of the biggest reasons why you were so angry. So going to the point of that, again, it wasn't about the match. For this WrestleMania, it was about the moment at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But your point, I don't know if you're kind of going against your point or not, but you were just pretty upset about how that match was so bad.
But just time and just everything, I just feel like everything around the match was just negative. The build was not good. Most people accepted that. The match itself wasn't that good. Most people are agreeing with that. And the result, initially, not now, like, not like, okay, a week has gone by, think about it, but the initial reaction at the time wasn't good because fans were so shocked that they couldn't even enjoy the rest of the show. They were just sort of stuck. Like, I hate it when, like, after the match was over, they did that segment with, like, Hogan and Mr. T and Piper and stuff. I'm like, you don't, in 20-plus years, can do a comedy segment, like, a minute later. I was totally out of it. And then they did the Divas thing. You know, everything about that feud in general was just, like, a huge magnet of, like, what is this? You know, the match is bad. I was mostly, overall, I think the thing that upsets me the most was just the build. To see Taker streak in, like, of all the feuds he's been in, all the people he's been through, it ends with that. Like, you know, just such a lazy written build. I don't know.
Well, remember, when you deal with a guy that's part-time and you deal with a guy that only goes on a show once a year, you can't always get something out of that. You know, that's where the other feuds kind of maybe made it a little bit easier. Paul Heyman was the one talking the entire time. And by the way, what did you think of the promo? We haven't been on the air since then. What were your thoughts of Paul Heyman's promo the night after that?
I don't really care. I ignore Paul Heyman nowadays.
So you did not, did you watch the promo?
I watched the promo. I just don't care.
Yeah, I got to be honest. That was one of the coolest promos because he kind of, you know, one of my favorite lines of that, which was like the best line I've ever heard from Paul Heyman, was that Brock Lesnar is not here to get cheers. He is here to put tears in the eyes of children. How cool of a line is that? That should be a T-shirt. Like, Brock Lesnar, I put tears in the eyes of children. That is, like, one of the funniest lines to ever that I thought he put in. That was just, and just Brock Lesnar laughing and reacting. I don't know. I thought it was a really good promo by, in fact, one of the best promos, I think, in a long time, of him just saying that he told it was going to happen, and just that he reacted to the crowd, and the crowd's, like, feeding into him. It was just so good because the fans beat into Paul Heyman because they love him so much, but he rips on him all the time.
Here's the one random thing. My girlfriend, who really barely follows wrestling at all, she predicted Brock Lesnar to win just based off of one simple thing that most of us just kind of brushed off. She predicted Brock Lesnar to win because of his T-shirt.
Really? Well, there you go. Mark, it's all,
yeah, well, her argument was, why would they make a shirt that says, eat, sleep, break the streak? Because if he's going to lose, the T-shirt's going to be useless after he loses. So her argument was, since they made that shirt, they made it with the intention of it selling once the potential streak ends. That was what she said afterwards, and that was how she... Hmm?
Well, you know what? She's smarter than probably most wrestling fans. So,
yeah, well, I guess...
Look at it like
funny,
that.
You know, yeah, you know, sometimes at those big shows, it might be better to actually hang around a casual fan or someone that doesn't follow it, because they may be able to catch stuff that, you know, someone like us has been watching for a long time won't be able to see, because we're so, you know, we're so enshrouded in it. We just can't see simple stuff like that.
Exactly. That's what makes, I think that's why I like when people watch wrestling for the first time. And I was at a party where it was the first time some of them were watching WrestleMania. So, and they were kind of intrigued into it, so they kind of bought into it. But, of course, they're all there. They like the six-packs, of course. That's what most women like to watch wrestling for. I have a call
right
on the line. I think this might be Seth. 732, you are on the line. Is this you, Seth?
Is this Will TLD?
Yeah, this is him.
Hey, TLD, it's Jay, bro.
Oh, hey, Jay, what's going on?
What's up, man? Hey, listen, guys, I just called in. I caught the tail end of Toph talking about his girlfriend predicting that Brock Lesnar was going to break the streak. It was, I'm just gonna add a few words and I'm gonna get off because I got some shit I gotta do. But I do agree with Toph about the reasoning for the marketing, not just the break the streak shirt, but the word conquer. Eat, sleep, conquer, repeat. That word conquer, when it was established for Brock Lesnar back in like January at the Royal Rumble, when that was established, that all was foreshadowing. Now, we see this in hindsight. There's no way we can really see, as wrestling fans, as diehards, that is going to be a word that is going to be used for the future to market Brock Lesnar as the conqueror. I didn't see it coming. I honestly did not. I'll be the first to admit it. I didn't see The Undertaker losing. I figured if he was going to go down, like the majority of us did, and I'm sure you did too, Toph and Will, that it would be to a young lion like a Roman Reigns or a Bray Wyatt or even a Daniel Bryan down the line. Or hell, I wouldn't even be shocked if it happened with Cena at some point. But Brock Lesnar completely threw me off guard. But in hindsight, and hindsight's always 20/20, guys, I get it, because it's going to mean more when a guy like Roman Reigns defeats Brock Lesnar, the conqueror, the guy who defeated the streak, the only guy to ever do that at WrestleMania. It's going to mean more than if Roman Reigns actually is the guy to break the streak, because the fans, all right, wrestling fans would have gotten behind Roman Reigns to break the streak. It would have been, you know, people would have cheered like crazy. It would have been something that we could have talked about in a positive light for years to come. Instead, WWE flipped the script, and they had a guy that everybody, especially the IWC, the kids who just just thrive on hating everything about Brock Lesnar and what he stands for and being a part-timer, yada, yada, yada. See, they flipped it around, and they made everybody hate him more. So hindsight's 20/20. The WWE did the absolutely positively right thing in that perspective. And I just wanted to say, before I give you guys back, that you're doing a great job. I handed off the reins to you guys for the time being and stuff, and I appreciate all the hard work you're putting in for ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. We are set to do some big things in the future. We've got on deck, all right, on deck, we're bringing Bruce Hart to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio on a permanent basis. He's going to be doing a Sunday night show called Heartbeat Radio. That is going to do within the next few weeks. Not this coming Sunday, but probably the following Sunday. It's going to be Heartbeat Radio. It's going to be an old-school wrestling show. We're going to try to line up some really good guests for Bruce Hart and hopefully get a little bit of the Stampede Wrestling vibe. Also, one of our favorites, one of our boys in the business, Dave Destruction. I've been talking to him. He's an independent pro wrestler who wrestles for Pro Wrestling Syndicate. He's out with a knee injury right now. He just had surgery. Warren talks about bringing a Destruction radio show to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. Add that to what we're doing every week with Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, the flagship show. Add what we're trying to do, getting a show every single night of the week, to the Greg DeMarco show, which is coming back next Tuesday night. He's got a hell of a fan following himself, and he focuses in on that that women wrestling contingent that a lot of these people love. It's a really big niche. With his fanfare, with the fanfare we bring, and what Bruce Hart, Dave Destruction are going to bring to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, the sky's the limit. We're not giving up. We're keeping this going forward, guys, and I just wanted to thank you for being there for me, for helping me out while I'm trying to get my stuff together with this job and get on a decent schedule. I appreciate it.
I got to say, that was such a beautiful speech, Jay. I am, like, in tears on the floor of what you just said. Jay, this is a shocking moment for me for you to be on the air. It's good to hear from you, my brother. Thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, guys. Keep on bringing the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse name to light. Get on your Twitter. Get on your Facebook. Plug the living bejesus out of ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. We've got nothing but original content, Toph. Nothing but original, original, original. We don't copy and paste from a guy like Meltzer or Alvarez or Keller or who's the other jacket? Mike Johnson. These guys, all they do is stir up crap with rumors that have no validity to them. What did they report the other day? That Samoa Joe had a serious concussion, so he's missing out on TNA tapings or something along those lines. Guess what? There's nothing wrong with Samoa Joe at all. He doesn't have a concussion. He called them out on it. Are they going to go and retract it? Are the 200 websites that copy and pasted that news report and generated hundreds of hits to their site, sometimes even thousands of hits, are they going to go back, retract it, and say apologize? Are they going to pull the news story because it's false? No, they're not going to do that. They're going to keep it up there. They're going to keep generating their hits. We don't do that at Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. We provide original content, original ideas. We've got a writer in Australia. We've got writers in the UK. We've got them all over the States, and we're only getting bigger. We're only getting better. And I'm going to leave you guys with this. Pro Wrestling Powerhouse isn't just a wrestling website. We're not insiders. We don't pretend to be. What we are is passion. We are powerful, and we're going to keep it going strong. We're just 2 years in, folks, and that's one of the reasons why I'm calling in, Will and Toph. We just hit our two-year anniversary of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse, and we have grown so much, and you can't really see it at the surface, but I do because I see all the numbers from behind the scenes. We have grown so much in 2 years, it's scary to think where we're going to be in five. So I appreciate it, guys, and have a great rest of the show, all right?
Thank you, Jay,
for
calling in, the owner of ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. I got to be, going off that tope, it's been amazing since I got back on the air with PWP Radio back when we had SummerSlam, where it was Brock Lesnar and Triple H, and we started the show, and where he's gone with the website. I got to be honest, I go to the website a lot more than I used to back in the day, I'll be honest, but some pretty cool, articles. Jay has some great articles that he writes about some hot topics in the wrestling industry.
you know, WrestleMania 30. And one of my favorite new things that they're doing is called Humor News, which is one of my favorite things to listen to. It's just basically taking a story that someone would publish and basically makes a huge comedy story out of it, but he writes it like it's a real article, which is like a real, real funny thing. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen those. It kind of reminds me of that Facebook page, Kayfabe News, and the funny stories they make making fun of Kayfabe. Yeah.
Yes, I that is one of my favorite things to to read on our site. It's just basically The Onion, and basically all it is just our version of wrestling on it. That's pretty much what it is. So it's pretty interesting. It's real funny. Definitely check out all the great articles. If you look up Humor News, I mean, it's one of the top-ranking things to look for, believe it or not. I just looked it up right now. Pretty interesting how we're growing with that thing. So definitely check out some of our great articles. But we're going to move on forward to our next big topic to talk about, and that was the unfortunate passing of the Ultimate Warrior. We already know the story behind everything. Toph, talk about some of your memories of the Ultimate Warrior that just stand out to you, that just was like what made you a fan of him, or if you didn't like him, or, you know, your thoughts on just the guy in general.
Oh, well, I was not an Ultimate Warrior fan. I was born in 1987, and by the time I started watching wrestling passionately, it was like 94, 95, and at which point Warrior's heydays were already over. So it was never really the Warrior that captured me. However, I was a fan of his production and of his speaking. I discovered him by accident. It was like about 4 years ago. I wasn't doing too well in college. I just failed a really important class. Things just weren't working out. We've all been there before. College can be difficult. And I was really depressed. I was considering taking a break. And I went on YouTube and I looked up motivational speaking. And then I found The Warrior. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute, that's the Ultimate Warrior guy. And what a lot of folks don't know is he did a lot of motivational speaking. He actually had a YouTube show. I watched it like a week before he had been announced to be in the Hall of Fame. It was like a YouTube show where people that have demons of some kind, like they would come on his show, and he would help them exorcise those demons. I'm not sure if you've seen it, but there was this one episode where it was like this band, a really popular band, I can't think of their name, they were on his show, and they were really good musicians, but all of them smoked weed and drunk alcohol and did stuff that they shouldn't do, things that can alter their performance, and he helped them get them straight. He was a really strong, positive, motivational speaker, and after listening to a lot of the speeches, I became a big fan of him, and it was from that point on, from his motivational speeches, then I looked back at The Wrestler, The Ultimate Warrior, you know, through YouTube and, you know, WWE 24/7, because that was before the network. It was through that I discovered, you know, The Ultimate Warrior, his stuff with The Undertaker, with Jake the Snake Roberts, with Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage. Then I was introduced to The Warrior. He was pretty cool. I liked him. He was very energetic. His gimmick was different. His physique was different. His hair was different. Probably one of the most, arguably the best theme of all time. You know, that theme just got you hyped and crazy, still gets you hyped. Overall, I'd probably say my favorite feud with him, I love this feud with Randy Savage at WrestleMania 7. I love their work. Love their matches. You know, he was cool, man. It was nice to see him finally come to peace with so many people that, you know, he had, you know, vendettas against. Like, I saw him hug Kevin Nash and Vince McMahon and Triple H, and I saw a picture of him with Hulk Hogan backstage. You know, it was really nice to see him finally, you know, put all that hate and stuff aside and, you know, finally be at peace. I feel really bad for his daughters, mostly because one thing that Warrior always said, and you could tell it bothered him, was, you know, his father left him, and, you know, he had to take care of himself, and I could tell that always bothered him. And as someone personally that, in real life, my father passed away when I was young, I could relate to that. And, you know, just when it seems like, you know, he can finally, you know, bring some more positivity to the WWE and to wrestling fans, he passes away. I feel sorry for his daughters because, you know, now his daughters will also not have a father. Although, you know, he's just passing away, and it's not like he left them or anything, but you get what I mean. I feel sorry for the daughters. I feel sorry for the wife. It's just really it's an uncomfortable, sucky situation because, like, we just saw him, you know, like, it's just so creepy, you know, like, we saw him at the Hall of Fame, we saw him at WrestleMania, we saw him the Raw after WrestleMania, and then the very next night he dies. And then he cut that promo. It was almost as if, like, he knew. I believe he probably did know. You know, it was probably just his way of saying goodbye, you know. But I'm happy. I'm happy that unlike most people who just pass away and, you know, we just have to remember them for what they did, I'm happy that before he passed, he was finally able to get one last appearance, get one last speech, and was finally able to exorcise his demons and stuff like that. It's very unfortunate. You know, we'll miss him.
Yeah, before we get into my thoughts, I have a 347 on the area code. 347, you're on the air.
I am never known as 347.
Well, John, I try to contact you, but I don't have your number in my phone. So please, do not blame me because you don't call me. So that's your fault.
Excuses.
Well, John, thank
What's
you
up,
for
boys?
Calling us. I know you're in the middle of your baby war with the bottle. But I figure, thank you for calling in. We're talking about the Ultimate Warrior and his passing. We already know the story of what happened. But John, we want to talk about your first thoughts of the Warrior, just your thoughts on him, and
okay.
Just what he left for you. What was his big impact?
All right. Well, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I was watching back in '87 and '88. I was like 10, 11, 12 years old, and he was. You know, he was cool. You know, the face paint, the tassels, the, you know, the grunting, you know, he was cool. And, you know, when he beat Honky Tonk Man, that was awesome. There was no internet. There was no way really for anything to get spoiled. I was a big fan. I was, you know, where I used to live when I was a kid, there was like four of us that watched wrestling. And when WrestleMania VI happened, I was the only one who actually was cool with the idea of Warrior winning. And I remember I had school the next morning, so my parents wouldn't let me stay up to watch the entire pay-per-view, but they taped it for me. And with the way the stairs went in my old house, my stairs up to my bedroom also kind of led into my living room. So I sat at the foot of the stairs as quietly as I can, as I could at the time, to listen to the main event to see if Warrior was going to win. You know, so that was cool. You know, the couple times he came back. I surprisingly got to see him at a Nitro in November of 98 at Nassau Coliseum, which, you know, that was neat at the time. You know, Tope said it best. It's good that, unlike with Savage, it's good that at least for the weekend, he got to make his peace. He got his due, and I agree with Toph. Sometimes you just know, and that speech Monday night was just, I mean, it's been beat to death how cryptic it was, but it's almost like he knew. I mean, forget the fact that how he looked physically, you know, the limp was there, but the limp has been there for a few years. But just the huffing and puffing as he was walking out of the ring, he didn't look good. And it's the type of thing that you go back and when you watch it again, you notice. But, you know, it was just such a cool, surreal moment to see, you know, last Monday night when he was there and WrestleMania, the Hall of Fame, and the fact that he announced that he signed a multi-year deal. You know, it's probably a Legends contract in all fairness, but the fact that he signed a deal with them and the pictures of him hugging Vince and him and Hogan together, you know, it was like, all right, you know what? Everything's come full circle, and whatever the past was, it was the past. We can move on from it, and, you know, we can get some cool stuff going forward. You know what's really scary in all this? You know, even though they were lightly rumored a few months ago, there were rumors of him working a match with Ryback at WrestleMania. And, you know, knowing what we know now and knowing his, you know, what it appears his physical situation was, it's almost scary to think what would have happened if that match would have happened. But I'm with Toph. I'm glad I got to see him one last time on TV. And, you know, I saw what his wife Dana, you know, sent out today. I thought that was well said. And, you know, just what Vince and, you know, the fact that he just sent people there just to, you know, what do you need? You need someone to go get your groceries. You need someone to help you with this. You know, that just, say what you will about Vince and Hunter and this and that, but, you know, when the chips are down, they really do know how to come through, and they did. And he like Tope said, he's going to be missed.
Yeah, you know, I did not have the pleasure of knowing Warrior back in the day. I started watching wrestling around 1991. Just SummerSlam 1991 was my very first tape of wrestling I've ever watched, and that was the famous match made in hell, where it was the last appearance of the Warrior, and then he showed up again at WrestleMania 8. And to be honest, you know, there wasn't much of a break between the Warrior being gone from SummerSlam 91 to 92, so I really was not too... you know, I didn't really miss the Warrior. Like, I loved when he came out, because it's like he didn't even know if he was really gone. And because I watched everything from pay-per-view to pay-per-view, and that's when I first got introduced to the Warrior. And then I started watching the pay-per-views live regularly after WrestleMania 8, watching SummerSlam, you know, watching, you know, Survivor Series. And that's when I got into the Warrior and knowing about who the Warrior was. And then eventually down the line, as I grew up, I would watch old Warrior things, including SummerSlam and WrestleMania 6, and that was just a pretty cool experience. But yeah, I mean, when I go work out, I put the Ultimate Warrior's music on. That is just such a powerful theme. And if there was one thing they did talk about great about the whole Self-Destruction of the Ultimate Warrior DVD, even though there was a lot of bad in that, there were still some really good things in that. And I think one of the good things they talked about was the theme music, because that was just a heavy part of what that was. And you know, Jim Johnson doesn't get enough credit, I think, for that song, because that was one of the top five themes of all time. And even my father, who's like not a big wrestling fan, but he knows who the Ultimate Warrior is, and my God, he just loved that music, just that rock, you know, theme, heavy theme, you know. I mean, every wrestler in the world wishes that they could have a theme like that, you know. So Warrior was just a great character overall. It was a comic book character come to life, and that's what something Jerry Lawler said, and that's who he really was. And I really enjoyed his work. I think he was very underrated as a pro wrestler, though. I thought he could, you know, WrestleMania 6 is one of the biggest matches of all time, and it was a pretty good match. And I remember me and my father, we actually, at WrestleMania Access, I don't know if either of you two have been to this, but at WrestleMania Access, we got to call a wrestling match. And that was part of Access, which they didn't have at WrestleMania 29, which is a little upset about. But one of the cool things was we got to call the Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan, because that was the only match my father really would have known. And we were just having a great time doing the commentary. It was just such a fun thing to do. And it's just that it's the Ultimate Warrior. It was just so much fun. I got it on VHS tape. It was so cool to do. So Warrior is just one of my favorites. And, you know, so going back, what did you think of the Hall of Fame speech? I know a lot of people give him a little criticism on the Hall of Fame speech, but, you know, a little long. But what were your thoughts on the Hall of Fame speech by Warrior?
I like the Hall of Fame speech. I think it was pretty clear that DVD still bothered him, but it looks like they were going in a direction where they were rewriting history. And you could tell he wanted to say some more, but I think he was just trying to be at peace. I mostly took the speech for basically him saying that the past is the past and now we should focus on the future, and which is positivity and stuff. So I thought the speech was cool. It was a little long, but I enjoyed the speech.
John, your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I have no problem with the timing of it because, you know what, all those speeches go long. You know, but, yeah, I think he accomplished his thing. He didn't crap on anyone. He didn't, you know, go ballistic or anything like that. But you know what? He did have to speak his mind about, you know, his feelings on the DVD, and he had every right to, you know. Listen, you know, this was bullshit. It wasn't right, you know. And it bothered me. And, you know, like Tope said, but you know what? We're going to go forward. And, you know, the fact that, you know what told me the most about where he was with everything at that moment in the Hall of Fame was the fact that if you've ever seen that DVD, I would say probably besides Chris Jericho, Ted DiBiase probably destroys him the most in that DVD. And the fact that he still just thanked Ted DiBiase for being such a part of his career, that I think that shows you where he was, where I don't even think a year or 2 years ago he would have done that. You know, I think when it was rumored to go down in Phoenix, what was that, 2010? I think he would have been a complete danger with a live mic. But now, you know, again, whether or not maybe he knew, you know, maybe, you know, he knew something was up, he knew his time was limited, whatever, or he just matured, you know, which is, you know.
No, this is kind of, no, you just, I know this is kind of strange because I know, John, that you're taking care of a kid as well, but I've always been told that, you know, the realization of you realizing you're a father matures you. Wouldn't you say that's accurate?
Yeah, I could say that, and it's funny you said that because I actually, I'm not going to get off too far off topic, but I have a buddy mm-hmm. that had a kid 3 weeks after I did, and our kids were maybe, well, my son was maybe a month or two old at that point, and his daughter had to be, if my son was 2 months old, his daughter was maybe 6-7 weeks, and we just had a random conversation one night, and he was like, isn't it amazing just the different way you look at things now that, you know, you have a kid? And I was like, yeah. I was like, you're right, and I know where you're going with it. Maybe the fact now that he had his daughters, you know, maybe a lot of things changed. I know specifically on that speech, he was like, yeah, he's like, you guys weren't around when Daddy did his whole Ultimate Warrior thing. You know, maybe you're right. Maybe, you know, becoming a father, you know, especially with his history, maybe that did kind of change him a little.
You know, the whole thing between DiBiase and the Warrior has always been strange. I had the pleasure of meeting DiBiase about 5 years ago at there was a wrestling thing going on in Atlanta where a lot of legends were. DiBiase was very nice. He was very, he said hi to my mom. He said hi to me. He was nice to the fans and stuff. And you know how it is, like you're a wrestling fan and the wrestler is right in front of you and you're marking out and you can't help but just ask that question. And so I was like, Mr. DiBiase, if you don't mind telling me, like, what exactly is the beef between you and Warrior? Because for so many years I've been told, you know, oh, him and DiBiase have beef. And DiBiase said, like, apparently there was some type of contract signing, like, not a contract signing, but an autograph signing where him and other legends were there. And, you know, like, you go and you visit the wrestlers and you shake their hands, you take pictures and stuff. And DiBiase said, according to what he told me, was that Warrior and himself, Warrior and DiBiase, were paired together. And Warrior felt that someone of his caliber shouldn't have to have a co-partner. Warrior felt that he should just have his own thing. You know, and so then DiBiase politely requested for a someone new to get paired up with. I think he got paired up with, like, Psycho Sid or somebody. And so Warrior, he had his own booth. So, like, Warrior and DiBiase were supposed to, like, share a booth together with fans. But Warrior said he wanted to have his own booth or something. So this is a conversation DiBiase and I had, like, in, like, 2009, 8, something or something around that. But he seemed a little bit bitter and upset about it. But, you know, like you said, John, I think probably the realization of him realizing that he was a father and he had two beautiful girls probably matured him a little bit. You know, I mean, we'll never know. But, you know, I'm just happy he finally put peace with everything before the end. That's all that matters.
Yeah, you know, I actually do remember that story. That is actually a true story. That did happen. It was actually, I think, here in Jersey where that happened.
Was that the one where Sheik went after him too?
Sheik?
Was that the same convention? Because didn't the Iron Sheik go up to him, like, while he was signing for somebody and ripped them apart? And that was in Jersey. Was that the same convention?
It may have been.
I don't recall. Because
on YouTube where Sheik was just walks up to him out of nowhere and just starts cursing at him, you know, in a way only she can, of course. And,
yes,
you know, Warrior's by himself in that clip, and I'm almost certain, I would bet you $50 to a dollar, I think that was in Jersey.
Yes, that was. I just looked it up right now. That was May 6, 2007. That is when the Iron Sheik went up to Warrior and wanted to fight him. No offense, Warrior, you know, Sheik is a crazy freaking dude, and you can tell just by watching his, you know, everything that he does. So it was really more Warrior was hanging out where Sheik kind of challenged him. Now, I don't know if that was the same show, but I know that in the past there has been some issues with, Warrior and people at these conventions, but I think a lot has changed in his life since that moment. You know, I believe his kids had a lot to do with it. I think Triple H, of all people, deserves a lot of credit. He's been trying to mend these relationships between some of these stars, and Bruno Sammartino was the first perfect example of that, where he was able to somehow, some way, get Bruno Sammartino to accept the WWE and be a part of the WWE brand now, when he was completely wanted nothing to do with Vince McMahon. And now Triple H mend the relationship with the Ultimate Warrior, you know, and think about what Triple H is trying to do. He's trying to showcase how good their product is now. It's not like what it used to be. And he's trying to mend those relationships, because even if Vince McMahon won't mend them, Triple H is going to try to do that, because they have a huge history of, you know, people that they are, you know, they're trying to be involved with. Sting is their next possible guy. Not that there's a bad relationship, but he's trying to get them to be involved.
That's not possible after last night. That's going to happen. That's done.
Well, we didn't talk. Whoa.
Mission accomplished.
We're going to get to that, so don't spoil anything. But what I'm trying to say is that he is trying to mend relationships that have an issue. And I think that's important to do when you have a Hall of Fame, when you have the WWE Network. This is what that's all about. And I think that's what this relationship is about. I mean, my God. You know, look how happy people were to see the Warrior. Look how happy the Warrior was. Look at his response from the Hall of Fame, from WrestleMania 30, being a part of that, and from Raw the next night. It was just a cool moment to see that the Ultimate Warrior came back to the WWE, which was one of the things that you never thought that could have happened.
Yep.
And that's what, you know, was great about it, is that if you thought it would never occur, hell would freeze over, and Bret Hart, Ultimate Warrior, Bruno Sammartino, even Jake Roberts, all these guys coming back, and basically that bridge is now, we're not able to build that bridge again. We're not able to see these guys back on WWE television and being recognized for what they've done for our industry, because Ultimate Warrior was a huge boost to pro wrestling. There's no doubt about it. People just loved them. Going back to you, Toph, so what are your thoughts on the Raw after? How do you think they handled the tribute?
You mean Raw this week?
Yes.
It was okay. I think they're saving most of their Warrior tributes for shows on the network. But
yes, which
I liked how a lot of the guys on the roster are wearing Warrior T-shirts, especially the Usos. I like the face paint they had. I liked the little moments they showed during the commercial breaks. It was cool. And I liked the specials they had on the network. I watched the one with Warrior last night where we saw You-Know-Who.
Yes, well, you know, one of the things I thought that was great about Raw was they did the 10-bell salute, and that's something they normally do for guys that are, you know, in the company at the time, or, you know, not everyone who passed away gets that kind of moment, but, man, that was just such a big impact because of what happened just a week before. John, your thoughts of the tribute on Raw?
I thought it was really well done. You know, he... It was, I thought it was well done. I thought the beginning, let me tell you, any time now, and it's obvious that these are, you know, it's becoming a little few and far between, but when you can get Vince out on stage, you know, in a time where Vince is kind of scaling back a little, and you got that real emotion. I thought the whole locker room, you know, with the shirts, with the mask, the fact that they gave those masks away for free at the arena, you know, was a nice touch. The clips throughout the show, you know, just highlighting everything, it was really nicely done. And just to piggyback off something you said, Will, a few minutes ago when you were talking about Triple H, you know, for all the crap that Hunter gets, and, you know, rightfully so, not rightfully so, that's a different story for a different day. But in this case with Warrior, if there was ever a guy who had a right to hold a grudge against this guy, and I'm not saying every guy that had a problem with Warrior was justified, But if there was anyone who had a right, or who you just couldn't blame if he was like, no, you know, screw this, I'm not going there, it's Hunter. But the fact that, you know what, Hunter has been able in a lot of these circumstances so far to leave certain things in the past does tell you a lot about what Hunter is trying to do for this company. You know, what he does on screen is totally different from what he does off screen, and I think that's what, you know, Hunter needs to be, you know, commended for that.
Well, giving Triple H props, man. That's a good thing, you know. And I think, you know, ever since you know these guys have been coming back, they've been mentioning Hunter by name. You know, who talked to them and who gave them, you know, kind of helped them, you know, make a deal. So it was good to see the tribute on Raw. I thought it was a great tribute. You could see a lot of the younger guys. I saw like Natalya, and I saw, you know, some people actually crying on the stage. A lot of people were very touched by this, and I got to tell you, the support they've been doing to the Warrior family has been tremendous. You know, WWE should get a lot of recommendation for that. But someone who should not get a lot of recommendation is that stupid pig, Nancy Grace. Now, for those who don't know, Nancy Grace had a show and basically pointed out that Warrior's death could have possibly been related to steroid or drug abuse, bringing up, again, that list of wrestlers that passed away because of drugs, alcohol, on top of the fact that Diamond Dallas Page was brought onto the show to talk about Warrior and to tribute him, and it went completely in the opposite direction of that, and it was just a real shame that someone would take someone's death and turn it into a story like they did. Just a disgusting display of news reporting, and that's just the way it is with these NBC and CNN shows and HLN, that's what the network she's on. It made Diamond Dallas Page look like a real idiot, too, which is really not fair, and he even agreed that he would have never joined the show if it was going to be something like that. Did you guys watch that?
No.
No, I didn't watch it, but I heard about it. Nancy Grace is an idiot. I know about her. She's an idiot, and she had Owen Hart's name on the list. Everyone knows that, but Owen, she doesn't do her homework.
Well,
just girls like people like the proper way
of
saying
it. I want to make a little defense of that. She did not say Owen Hart passed away. She just said that wrestlers that die young. That's what she had on the list. It wasn't necessarily saying Owen Hart died from drugs and alcohol, but it was
she had them
he was on
together.
A list
well,
of wrestlers
on.
That were young, but she implied, but this is where I was getting to the point, she kind of implied that list that they were showing were all people who died of drugs or alcohol, but on the list itself, the text itself said wrestlers who died before they were 40 or something like that. That's why it's like what she had on screen was one thing and what she said was another thing.
People like that, you just should not publicly talk about, because that's exactly what they want. It just gives them more views, and it gives them the media coverage attention. When I first heard about the Warrior thing, that was my initial fear that, oh, no, someone's going to, you know. Because when we read the early reports and no one knew what happened, the first report I saw was that, you know, he was with his wife, and he clutched his chest. And when I read that, the first thing I thought about was, okay, Randy Savage all over again, heart attack while driving. They said he was, you know, walking, most likely had a heart attack. I was afraid, okay, some news story. I thought that TMZ was going to turn it into some steroid thing, but Nancy Grace did it before anybody else could. You know, people like that, they don't do their homework. Just ignore them. She's an idiot. We all know that.
And actually, surprisingly, TMZ has actually been very, shockingly, been very legit and very fair and honest with everything about this. I'm with you, Toph. I thought for sure they would have tried to exploit it or mock it, and they've of all the people that handled this the right way, it was them. The Nancy Grace thing, there's a rumor, I don't know how true it is, supposedly the story is she dated a wrestler in the 80s and he dumped her, and now she's just bitter towards the entire sport in general. I think Cody Rhodes said it on Twitter. you know, I don't know if it's legit, I don't know if it's not, but yeah, she was a nightmare even back when the Benoit thing happened. And the only thing, I mean, yeah, it sucks that Paige, got sabotaged, but you know what? You kind of got to do your homework. You got to know who you're dealing with, you know, and I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I kind of feel maybe Paige should have known better that what he was dealing with, and it wasn't going to be a, hey, share your memories of the guy, you know, yeah, this is a shame. It was going to be, you know, a slander piece and a destruction piece.
Yeah, well, it's truly, truly sucks about that whole thing, but, you know, what I think is going to be important here is that on the WWE Network now, they are having the Warrior Week, where last night they showed footage of some of the great matches, which I felt was another good thing. A lot of the superstars from the past actually did some video interviews from their own homes talking about the Warrior, which I thought was a nice little added touch going in between the different Warrior matches that they showed. Some of those good matches with Rick Rude, the Honky Tonk Man. There was even one with Ted DiBiase in Japan, which was really interesting to watch that one. And tonight, it looks like they're going to have some sort of a tribute show, which actually is starting right now. The good thing is, if you're watching or listening to PWP Radio, you can catch that later, because guess what? You can watch that from the very beginning. So you can stay on the show and watch it and get back to the Warrior tribute later. But tonight, they'll be showing, I think, so much more of a documentary, I think, on this one.
Is this when they follow them around?
Yeah, they follow them around, which WWE, you know, here's the smart thing about WWE. Hogan, right away when he came back, you got interviews. Warrior comes back, got interviews. You have to get interviews with these guys, because now you can clearly see what could happen that could definitely change this entire outcome. So it was pretty important that they got those. I mean, that's just priceless footage that, you know, it's just truly amazing to see.
Yeah, I'm going to catch that. I've been watching the stuff on him, and, you know, I'll catch that probably tomorrow at some point.
I'm probably going to be watching it tonight a little bit, so I'm probably going to be hanging on to that. Now that we've gotten through the Warrior, we definitely, boy, it's hard to see that this world's gone without the Ultimate Warrior, but he was an impact player to wrestling indeed. But let's move forward and talk about a big announcement that was made after WrestleMania, not by WWE, not by TNA, but by former TNA owner Jeff Jarrett, starting up Global Force Wrestling. Toph, are you going to join the movement?
Oh, sure. I mean, I'm always happy for any wrestling promotion. Wrestling promotions, there needs to be more. It's good for everybody. It's good for fans. It's good for wrestlers and stuff like that. You know, like, WWE is the big dog, but what if you can't make it to WWE? What if they don't like your look, or what if there's too much guys of the same cloth? Like, where do you go? There's TNA, then there's Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor, they have a TV deal, but it's not everywhere. And TNA has a TV deal, but you just can't stay at TNA to make money all the time. Like, not if you have a family or nothing. There's got to be more options. It gives fans more stuff to watch, and it gives wrestlers more places to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, the video game market would crash if it was just Nintendo. If it was just Sony, fans would get bored. You know, more is good. So I'm happy for Jeff Jarrett and the new promotion. We just got to wait and see where it goes. So I saw a very interesting post somewhere on a page. Someone had put, like, if you were Jeff Jarrett, who would be your top five picks? Like, who would you get for the promotion? You know, it's sort of hard to say, because you don't know who's a free agent and who's not a free agent. I don't know what AJ Styles' deal is. From what I'm seeing, it looks like he's enjoying his run in Ring of Honor very well. CM Punk, he's still contracted with WWE. I don't believe his contract expires till like sometime in July or June or something. But I'm gonna give it a chance. You know, it's gonna be different.
Yeah, John, what were your thoughts on Global Force Wrestling?
I'll be honest with you, if I'm Jarrett, there's a simple way to handle this. There's enough guys in both companies that are not happy with their current positions, and those are the guys, I'll be honest with you, those are the guys I would go after. Because you're going to get guys that are going to want to prove that TNA made a mistake on them, WWE made a mistake on them. You know, as far as, like, name guys, the only guy who I could really see going there is Kurt Angle. I am of the mindset that the Punk ship has sailed. If he's not going to do WWE, he's not going to do anything. AJ Styles is locked into Japan for the next year, so that takes him off the board. Angle's contract, I believe, is August or September. So especially if they're looking at a late 2014, early 2015 launch of episodes, I'd bring him in, and then I'm sure Jarrett has to know what some of these contracts are in TNA. I also think this is why you're seeing a rash of TNA signings that you've seen the last couple of days with Storm and Gunna and Robbie E. I think you could see him raid some of those guys. I could see him going for some W. I'll tell you right now, the one guy who, if he can't get out of the box anymore in WWE, I don't know what his contract status is, but I would, and it's a win-win for both, I'd go out of my way to grab Dolph Ziggler. Like, Nick Nemeth could be a guy that is enough of a name that if you can get him and you can kind of slowly build around him because of his talent, if you're going to be that type of company that is going to, you know, focus on what guys can do in the ring, you know, Ziggler's got enough charisma and can work the mic well enough that he could be a guy that you could build around. Then maybe I'll tell you another guy from TNA who might be, you know, ideal for this company. It's probably Joe, you know, at this point. You know, I know they're arguing over an injury right now, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if, I'm sure Joe has got to be over this at this point, you know. So, yeah, those are two guys. If I was Jarrett, I'd go grab, and, you know, you could do some things with.
What's Chris Hero doing? Where is he?
Chris Hero has been kind of going around different areas. He's been a part of Ring of Honor. He's doing a lot of independent bookings right now. That's what I know from, you know, what he's been up to. He is not signed to anybody. He does not have a legit contract with anybody. But Global Force has a great opportunity to definitely get another promotion out there that could help some wrestlers get some more promotion. And, you know, one of the big things is here in New Jersey, Jeff Jarrett is actually coming to a Pro Wrestling Syndicate show. He's coming here in May, and he's going to be having a special, a seminar. And he's going to be at Pro Wrestling Syndicate doing a seminar to scout talent. So I think you have to pay to be at the seminar, but he'll be here in the area in New Jersey coming up. I believe that is I think it's May 17th. He is going to be here doing a seminar early in the morning where you get a spot to have some training with him, which is really cool. And he'll be at a show that night. So he's going to be going around trying to get a lot of buzz. And he actually, I believe, I just read on the website, the creator of The Biggest Loser is agreeing to help promote or help do the production value of that show.
Yeah.
So, and this is not going to be ready. And by the way, this is not going to be ready until next year. So there is no time this year to do it. But he is giving it a good solid couple of months before he's even going to have a show ready, which is going to be very good for them. And now with social media out there, you know, TNA back in the day when, you know, they were starting off, the social media was not what it became today. And now Jeff Jarrett's got a real big opportunity to build this as a, you know, more of a, I guess, online kind of show. But he is going to have a TV deal, at least somewhere in the market, kind of like probably how Sinclair is doing with Ring of Honor, although the only problem is Sinclair is owns Ring of Honor, so that kind of controls a lot of the assets of Ring of Honor. But at least Jeff Jarrett, he's going to own this promotion. He's not going to be giving that away to anybody. So he'll have a lot of control on how it'll be done. So I think it'll work out better. And I think Ring of Honor, if anybody, has a lot of concern with that going forward, because they're going to be able to get a lot of great talent. And there's still a lot of great talent. And if CM Punk indeed is not going to be on a contract after July, imagine CM Punk showing up on Global Force Wrestling. That would be a huge way to start that program off, I think, in my book. And having him and AJ Styles and other people, That would be tremendous for Jeff Jarrett to have that. You know, but I think there's a lot of, you know, we can't, you know, we'll have to wait and see. We have at least a year before we even see anything.
Here's the other thing that Jarrett may have going for him is, remember, that Spike TNA TV deal is coming up, I believe, in the fall. And if Jarrett's got the right ears at Spike, he there's a chance. Don't be surprised, especially if he can get a couple of names maybe committed, or if not committed, at least floating out there that there's a good chance they're coming in, you know, maybe because of contract situations, he can't announce them right away. But if he can get some rumors out there about talent, and Spike maybe feels a little more comfortable with him, he might be able to jump into that TNA slot. And I wouldn't be so much about ROH having, you know, the most to be concerned about or the most to lose. I think TNA's got the most to lose in all this, because they could lose their TV slot and they could lose, you know, talent as well. And, you know, they're in trouble. I mean, we'll get into
JFW, Global Force Wrestling. Yeah, that's right, JFW. That's gonna sound strange to say. JFW is a big sleeper. I think a lot of fans are sleeping on the potential that this promotion could have, the effect that it could have on TNA, the effect it can have on Ring of Honor, even the effect it can have on WWE for some of those guys that just are not being used properly, like you said, John. I think JFW is a big sleeper here. I'm not saying this promotion is going to be like, you know, the best in the world or anything like that, but I think that many fans are not really analyzing and thinking about how this promotion is going to affect the wrestlers and the promotions elsewhere. So this is definitely TNA's biggest threat. TNA does not need to be concerned with Ring of Honor. They do not need to be concerned with WWE or the WWE Network. They do, however, need to be concerned with this promotion, because many guys in TNA got their start because of Jeff Jarrett. So, yep.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think that's enough talk about Global Force Wrestling. Pretty big deal coming up with that. So, with that in mind, is there anything else, Hope, that you feel like we should bring up before we wrap this show up? Oh, yes, we got to talk about TNA, Eric Young. Yes, I forgot to talk about that. So, Toph, your thoughts. Eric Young won a match on the show, decided he earned a match at Sacrifice, but ended up deciding to do the title match last Thursday night and became the new TNA World Impact Wrestling Champion. What are your thoughts on them doing the title change?
I'm cool with it. I have no problems. I was actually depressed because I was depressed over Warrior and stuff, and it was a nice feel-good moment and made me feel better. I was actually considering taking a break, so always seeing someone that, you know, puts in work in their craft, win a world title, that always makes me feel better about wrestling in general. So I'm happy for him. I'm a big fan of Eric Young. AJ Styles said himself the most underutilized talent in TNA is Eric Young. No matter what role Eric Young has had in TNA, whether it was dumb or whether it was good, he's done and he's played the best of his ability. I loved him when he was Super Eric. I loved him when he was in the World Elite. That was his best work, and they cut it short when Hogan came in. They rebooted the whole company. I liked him when he was doing his memory loss comedy stuff with Orlando Jordan, and I like his current role now. And he's actually very good in the ring. He's very good in the ring. He's entertaining, and he's over. You know, one thing that annoys me is a lot of fans are saying, oh, man, Eric Young's the TNA champion. You might as well make Santino the World Heavyweight Champion. Well, if I recall correctly, in 2012, Santino almost became the World Heavyweight Champion, and that whole arena went apeshit. Those fans wanted Santino to win. That wasn't, oh, they were just drunk. No, those fans literally wanted Santino to win that world title. Comic relief guys can be over. I mean, it's one thing to say, okay, he's a comic relief guy, but to say he's not over, I mean, Eric Young has consistently been getting good reactions and stuff, you know. I'm happy for EY. You know, I don't think he'll be champion for a long time. You know, I think this is just something they probably decided to do I think it was an on-the-line decision, something they probably decided that night. I think he'll probably be champion for about maybe 2 or 3 months or so. I definitely don't see him being world champion at Bound for Glory or anything like that. TNA tends to have heels walk in Bound for Glory as champion for some reason, but I'm happy for him. I have no complaints.
All right. John, your thoughts on Eric Young becoming the TNA World Impact Wrestling World Champion?
Yeah, completely opposite end of the spectrum, not going to lie. It's the same old move by TNA. They go for that shock value title change. They cut off the legs of someone who's got the belt, without really letting them get any traction. And, it's not a knock on Young. I mean, it's why would you do this again? Did we not learn from when you did it to Rude, when you did it to Bully, and now you're doing it to Magnus? It makes these guys worthless with the belts. I'm not even going to get on the whole, the people that are like, oh, it's a ripoff of Daniel Bryan. I'm not even worried about that. It's just, why? Why would you cut Magnus's legs off, especially when you booked him so shitty, when he could be a heel that you could really build this company around with the title? A guy that's good enough to win but still cheats and could have a nice long reign that you could build a baby face up for to eventually take the belt off him. And now the fact that he's lost it, and lost it, I'm sorry, to a guy like Young, on an Impact no less, with no real build, it's, when Magnus wins the belt in 2 weeks at Sacrifice, what's it really going to matter?
A couple of things about when I saw that announcement. Now, I'll be honest, I didn't watch the show. I haven't been on top of my TNA in a while. So I've kind of lost the interest after they had their lockdown pay-per-view or their, that's what it was, right? So what my thing is on this whole thing is that they could have done that title change at Sacrifice. I feel like that would have been the right spot. This was not the right time to do it. Do I think Eric Young should be champion? Yes. I think he's a great face character. I think he has a lot of appeal because he has a show on Animal Planet. He can be recognized outside of pro wrestling, which is what makes him a great candidate to be a world champion. And I could believe him being a world champion. I truly do. It's one of those guys, underdog guys, just like Daniel Bryan. There's too much comparison to what just occurred at WrestleMania, and that's where I think this was a mistake. They definitely hotshotted this. Eric Young should be a world champion, but they should have did it on the pay-per-view to make the selling point of the pay-per-view for Eric Young to become the champion. That's where I kind of have a problem with it. It's the way they booked it. I definitely think hotshotting it was the wrong idea. WrestleMania had everything to do with it. They wanted to get the attention on their side, and now people are happy Eric Young is a champion, but it wasn't the right time to do it. I think if they waited, I think it would have made a much more impactful statement on the company and on Magnus as a heel. This just was not the right timing, I think, for him to be a champion. So for your thoughts on what I'm thinking about, his title change as far as the timing.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. It didn't bother me at all.
So you don't feel like the timing had anything to do with how that could impact, not literally, impact the show? Because I think it has a lot. I think it has truly a lot to do with it. Although, their ratings did go up this week, so you have to give them credit on that. Their ratings did go up.
Yeah, I just thought it was a fine show. I mean, I thought the show itself was actually a good show, and again, like, pretty much, like, I'm not overanalyzing or anything. Like, I was, the whole Warrior thing made me depressed, so I was considering not even watching the show, and I'm like, let me just go ahead and watch it. Maybe it'll get my mind off something, and it was a good show, and then EY, he ended up beating Magnus in the end, and he became champion. I was like, oh, cool. I don't read spoilers or nothing. I know a lot of folks like to read spoilers. I don't read spoilers for Impact, Ring of Honor, or SmackDown. That kind of hurts my, when I read spoilers, it makes me not want to watch the show. So, I went into the show blindly, and, I'm okay with it. So, but again, like, I don't believe EY is going to be a long-term champion. I think he'll drop it by July or something like that.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, I don't see it even lasting longer than that. I think it'll be a lot shorter than that. Now, the cool thing is TNA is coming to New York City. They made the announcement. They're going to have a couple tapings here in the Manhattan Center. I'll probably try to get myself out to one of the, at least one of the shows to check out a TNA event. I haven't seen one since Bound for Glory in Philadelphia, which left a lot of bad taste in my mouth as far as a live event feel because of the way the ending went. So that was the only thing about that show that I was a little upset about. So I'm probably going to give TNA a try for one of their tapings. I'll be looking forward to seeing that. Toph, I'm going to go watch the Warrior Week on the network. Have you been enjoying the network?
Yeah, I like the network. I tend to watch it early in the morning, right before work. I like some of the old ECW stuff they show on it. Oh, by the way, we never talked about how Sting made his debut last night on the network.
This is why you're on the show, Toph. You are very good at what you do. Yes. Now, I personally have not seen the spot where Sting showed up, but Sting did make an appearance on the Warrior Week talking about the Warrior. Now, I did not watch it because, I'll be honest, I couldn't find it. When did he come on the screen? Because I could not find it.
It's at the very beginning. It's very brief. It's like 30 seconds. It's at the very beginning. Warrior does his speech. Then, like, the first person that talked was Shawn Michaels. Then it was, like, some random match. I think it was, like, Warrior against Barry Horowitz, however you pronounce his name. I'm not exactly sure.
Harwood,
and then, like, immediately after that, it was Rickety Dragon Steamboat. And then it was Sting. Sting talked for, like, 30 seconds. At the very bottom, it said WWE Sting. And Sting basically just said that his favorite Warrior moment was when he used to put orange juice and tuna sandwich in a blender and say he got all his protein all in one shake. So, yeah, Sting made there. He made an appearance and stuff. And, you know, many people are shrugging it off, saying, oh, you know, they just got Sting to make an appearance. It doesn't mean anything. And to those fans, I'm like, come on now. I mean, you do realize WWE, they own everything, WCW and ECW, right? There's years of footage, years of interviews that they own. They could have easily have just pulled some footage of Sting talking about Warrior like 15 years ago because they have the footage. Or they could have left him off the network entirely. The fact that they included Sting for 30, the fact that they put him on there, come on. That just confirms it. That's all I need to know. I know Sting is signed now. I feel totally better about Sting. He's signed. You can't tell me he's not signed. The fact that he was even on there for 30 seconds, that just tells me he's signed.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely say it happened. We actually have a Skype caller on the line. Ron.Bomber82, you are live. How you doing, sir?
Yo, what's up?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Everything's good. What's going on, man?
Not much. We're talking about Sting appearing on the Ultimate Warrior Week. Did you have a chance to see or watch that?
Oh yeah. To me, that was the best debut I've ever seen ever in life in professional wrestling. I mean, I was watching the Warrior stuff, and then I see Sting's face talk. I marked out like he was like walking to the ring. I was like, oh shit, Sting! And so, you know, it was the best. I mean, it's Sting, so I just wanted confirmation that he signed. So hopefully at least by the summertime we can see Sting actually like live in an arena doing something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that kind of confirmed it when Sting was talking about the Warrior. Now, of course, a lot of people were sending some video messages in about the Warrior, and I think, you know, even if they just asked him to be on the air, even if he wasn't signed, I think he still would have done it regardless. You know, but Sting being a part of it, I mean, are you going to be – I mean, what are your thoughts on the Ultimate Warrior? What impact did it leave for you?
It was just – to me, he was like – he was every kid's – he was like the casual fan's favorite wrestler, you know? Like, if you didn't know – like, a certain guy casual fans know from the 80s is Hogan, Macho Man, and Ultimate Warrior. And he was like that guy, like – the guy our age, I mean, I'll be 32, so guys my age who stopped watching wrestling, like, every Facebook post is like, rest in peace, my favorite wrestler as a kid. And all my homeboys used to watch as a kid that stopped now, their favorite wrestler was Ultimate Warrior. Like, on my Facebook page, I saw like 10 posts that saying Warrior was their favorite wrestler growing up as a kid. And I think his impact was, I think WWE, they tried to minimize his impact during, you know, the DVD back in the day, but it was pretty significant than what they try to make it out to be. And it kind of proved that when he passed, but a lot of people, especially famous, even other athletes, paying homage to him, using his theme music and all that stuff. And I think he was much more important than what they tried to make him out to be.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that whole DVD. Like I said before earlier in the show, I don't think it was. I would say it's about 80% bashing, 20%, you know, giving him credit.
Probably true, but they probably added more stuff to it. You know, like the stuff of him wearing the hat with Jerry Lawler. Like nobody really cared. You know, but so they kind of added on. The stuff he did, because the Warrior wasn't perfect, you know, but we know he wasn't, but that DVD didn't need to be made, you know?
Yeah, you know, they brought the guys on that didn't like Warrior at all. You know, they brought on, like, Jerry Lawler said some things on there that really didn't need to be said. Ted DiBiase said some things that didn't need to be said, and I think Bobby Heenan was probably one of the biggest ones of all, where he really trashed him. He didn't give him anything, any credit at all. You know, think Bobby Heenan's one of the greatest managers of all time, but he gave Ultimate Warrior, like, no credit at all for anything that he did, which was kind of like, you know, I mean, you see those kind of wrestlers when they're outside of the ring and you see them in person, sometimes they can kind of rub a bad taste in their mouth. Like, Jim Cornette has rubbed a bad taste in my mouth after I saw him at a Ring of Honor show and how he acted backstage. I'm no longer a fan of Jim Cornette just because of the way he acted and just was not professional at all. Which will give me a bad taste of him every time I watch him or see him. So, you know, it was pretty interesting to watch, you know, Sting come on the program. Ron, what do you think? What are your thoughts? What do you think Sting's going to be doing in the WWE if indeed he's going to be signed?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I don't think he's going to do any one-on-one matches. I think, I believe if the Cena Wyatt thing keeps going, I see him teaming with Cena to face the Wyatt, something like that, something to protect him in the ring, give him, like, at least 5 minutes ring time or something. But, I mean, the Hall of Fame for sure in the Bay Area. But I really don't need to see him wrestle that much. I just want him probably get in there, mix it up for a couple of minutes, and call it a career, to be honest with you.
Yeah, sometimes we don't need to have a match. Sometimes it's just having them there just might be all we need to make an impact on, you know, the program. So, Ron, we appreciate you calling in tonight.
No problem, man. God bless.
Thank you very much, Ron, for calling in. So, that's the show. You know, it was a pretty good show. You know, always love these shows. We heard some big announcements from Jay tonight, including Bruce Hart coming on to our radio show. That's a big deal, Toph. I mean, I think that's a really huge deal.
Yeah, that is a big deal. I'm definitely looking forward to that and seeing the brand of PWP growing bigger.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. We're going to have Bruce Hart, the brother of Bret Hart, of the Hart family. Hart family related to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. Not only did we have that great competition with the Hart family, you know, school, but now we're having him on our show, which is great. And Dave Destruction from PWS, from an independence point of view, a guy growing into the business, unfortunately suffered a injury, which now puts him out for a while, which sucks. And, you know, I've been there where I've been hurt in a wrestling ring. It sucks. You hate being out of the ring. I actually had mono, and I was out of the ring for a good couple months because I couldn't wrestle. I was so weak to wrestle in the ring, I just couldn't do it. So that's what made that so hard. But I know what it's like to be out of the ring for a while. But just to be injured, you know, especially when you're starting out in the business and you know about Jeff Jarrett's Global Force promotion, you know, it's tough on a guy like that. And this fight hopefully will help him kind of get through everything.
Yeah, hopefully everything will go well for him. How much time do we have left, T.O.B.?
Well, we have time left on the show. Why, do you have something you would like to bring up?
I was just going to give the fans my official timeline of Sting before we call it a night.
Oh, well, why don't we do that to close out the show? Go ahead. You're on
cool.
The air.
Cool. All right, cool. Well, basically, I have all these events that I have written down in front of me just to give fans an idea of what's going down with Sting. Everything I'm about to say, fans, this is not, you know, shit from dirt sheets or anything of the sort. This is basically coming from the horse's mouth itself.
coming from the Stinger. All right, so after Sting did his last tapings in Impact Wrestling, you know, he went back to London. There's this YouTube channel, I think it's called like Wrestle Talk TV. These guys in England, they tend to interview a lot of people. I don't know how to get their connections, but they talk to Sting. You can find it on YouTube somewhere, and they asked him if he had watched the Impact Wrestling product since his last match with Magnus, and Sting said he had not. Sting said in the interview that he had been watching Raw and WWE products, which is highly unusual for him, because for many years Sting has said that he doesn't watch WWE. He said that he had made it a habit to watch Raw and SmackDown every week. Sting said that himself. He also said in the interview that he had been watching The Undertaker's matches with Shawn Michaels, and he had been studying The Undertaker's matches with Shawn Michaels. Sting also said that if he could wrestle one more match, it would be against The Undertaker, no one else. Sting said that himself. So this was like sometime in mid-February. Now, of course, around this time, Sting, his contract was still with TNA, and if you went to the Impact Wrestling website, his profile was still there. Just like if you go to WWE's website, CM Punk's profile is still there. However, it doesn't mean that he's being used. The week of WrestleMania, on WrestleCon, we talked about this on the WrestleMania preview show. Sting was at WrestleCon, and the fan asked Sting what his favorite number was, and Sting said his favorite number was 31, which is clearly a reference to WrestleMania 31. You do the math there. Fans, you know, they marked out. And the day after WrestleMania or the day before, I think it was either Monday or Tuesday, one of those days, Sting has officially been removed from the Impact Wrestling website. So if you go to TNA's website, he's no longer there. His profile has been removed. And now, just yesterday, we saw Sting on the network, even though it was for a brief 30 seconds. Come on. He signed. Use common sense, people. He signed. It's over. He signed. It's really just a matter of just waiting until he shows up, which will probably be for some time.
Well, I got to tell you, that was so. I watched Forensic Files, and you just might be the Forensic File of pro wrestling.
And all this is legit. No dirt sheets or anything like that. Like Jay said, you know, Jay and I, we disagree a lot of things, but the one thing we are in agreement on is dirt sheets. I despise dirt sheets. I hate the copy and paste bullshit. You know, they make up stuff to generate views, and then, you know, the most annoying thing about dirt sheets is they make up stuff. And then if it happens, it makes them look more legit. And if it doesn't happen, you can always say the plans were changed at last minute card. This especially happens at Royal Rumble every year. That's why around Royal Rumble, I just don't even turn on the computer. I don't even turn it on. It's just, you know, just the temptation of looking at it. But everything I just said is basically from Sting's own mouth himself. So Sting, he's signed, man. He's signed. We're going to see him. It's just a matter of time. And, you know, since Taker has a concussion and he's beat up, you know, we probably won't see either of them for a while. You know, we'll have to wait. You know, that sucks. But, you know, just seeing him on the network for a very brief 30 seconds reinvigorated my hope. So
I think everyone has a lot of hope that Sting, you know, is going to have some kind of a relationship with the WWE. I think it's no doubt that that will happen regardless if he was on the network or not. I think the network just kind of helped solidify it, but I think it's pretty obvious he's going to be somewhat involved with the WWE, and I'm really looking forward to that. I would have loved to see Sting and Warrior in the same room at the same time talking about their days growing in the business, because, my God, that would have been a great interview to see. And I'm looking forward to it, and if Sting does arrive on the WWE, it'll definitely be a markout moment. It'll be a great wrestling history moment. You know, one of the only guys of WCW to never come over to the WWE, and that curse will be broken. You know, actually, a good question for you, Tom. Do you know anybody in the WWE that never went over to WCW?
No, Sting's the only one.
Well, I'm talking about the other way around. If you went from, do you know any WWE wrestlers that did not go to WCW?
Oh, in that case, then it would be Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels was the polar opposite of Sting to me, because Shawn Michaels was just like Sting. He was a WWE guy, and when so many other guys were jumping shit at WCW, Shawn Michaels stayed. I remember when he injured his back and he retired. I know Bischoff tried to lure him to WCW as part of the NWO. That's how he met his wife. I think that's because isn't his wife like one of the Nitro girls or something like that? I think he said something about that, like Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast. But yeah, he met his wife by attending a WCW show, and Bischoff tried to lure him there. But Shawn Michaels was a pure WWF guy. He stayed with WWF, and so does Sting. Mark Henry's another one. Mark Henry, even though they mistreated him and gave him all those horrible storylines, and he was put like in their developmental several times. Mark Henry, he also stayed with WWF. He never went to ECW or WCW, but Sting, Shawn Michaels is clearly the bigger name of the two. And ironically enough, Shawn Michaels, like Sting, also became a born-again Christian. And like Sting, Shawn Michaels also tended to use religion in his promos. So, I mean, yeah, Shawn Michaels and Taker had a great match at WrestleMania 25. But if you remember the match they had at WrestleMania 25, you remember how, like, the visual, how they did the whole light versus darkness thing? Like, you know, the promos and the vignettes. If anything, Sting and Taker, if they ever had a feud, it would be somewhat similar, except, you know, it would be more of a darkness versus sort of a twilight kind of thing, because the whole Crowstein character was about a guy that was in light that had fallen in darkness and, you know, was bitter and anger and stuff. So, but yeah, Shawn Michaels, he would be that top WWF guy that never went to WCW. It would be him.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm actually looking on WWE.com and looking at some of the wrestlers that you would not have realized actually from who were WWE stars went on to, WCW. Like, I was looking up Edge, and I was looking, you know, surprisingly Edge was on there, which I had no idea. You know, there were just some other guys I'm just seeing that you never would have thought appeared on, you know, WCW. Like, Rob Van Dam. This is crazy. Rhino was even on there. And he was,
I remember that. Edge had some random match with, I think it was Ming or the Giant, somebody from Dungeon of Doom.
It was
on that old show, WCW Pro. I remember that.
Yep. So, like, those are kind of things you don't realize are quite funny. But, yeah, Shawn Michaels, to me, was right. That's the only guy I know of that never went over to WCW during the time of the wars. You know, it was just a very, you know, I would even say, I think Billy Gunn would also be kind of one of the guys, too. I don't remember him ever being on WCW either. I don't think I could recall that either. Do you?
Shout-outs to Ron. He just misses me. He told me Owen Hart was in WCW. I believe he was, wasn't he? For a short time?
I think he was for a short time when he left after the Blue Blazer gimmick. I believe he did do some of that.
Right.
But, like, Billy Gunn's the only one I could think of that maybe, you know, who's, like, going to probably be, like a legendary guy that never went over to WCW. There's a few of them, but very small amounts. You know, Shawn would be the number one. I would say Billy Gunn was a top one, too.
Was The Rock ever bound or was he from WWF from the beginning?
Rock would be another one, too. Yeah, like, Rock would probably be another guy that would never went over to WCW. You know, so there's a few WWE guys, very loyal guys, that never went over. Sting is the only one from WCW that never, you know, as far as the big names is concerned, never went over to the WWE, you know, which hopefully will happen. And that's our show for tonight. Toph, always a pleasure to talk to you here on the radio show. Do you have us subscribed on iTunes?
iTunes. Do I have to download that?
You have to subscribe to it.
Oh, okay. Well, I think I got to get iTunes first.
Sir, I got to be honest. We have so many. This is kind of a brief for me. And I love our Pearls and Kyron stuff, but I got to be honest. Our group on our page, they don't listen to a lot of our stuff, especially if they don't have subscriptions to our iTunes. And most people have an iPhone or at least a what we call a computer. So there's always that possibility of you downloading our iTunes. We need the support. So we really would love it if you guys would go to iTunes to help support the show. It gets our podcast growing. That's the spot to be on to get our podcast going up on the air. And hopefully Bruce Hart will help that. I know Greg DeMarco is definitely helping that. But we need you guys to go on our iTunes, subscribe, leave feedback. We need our feedback. What do you want to hear us talk about? What do you want us not to talk about? Do you not want me to host? Do you want Toast to host? We need the feedback. Please contact us at prowrestlingcards.com and subscribe to us on iTunes. Check out ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Great articles, humor news, great things going on the page. We have our Pro Wrestling Tees account. Tope, do you have a Pro Wrestling Tee yet?
I got to get one. I'm going to make one tonight.
Yeah, we have a ProWrestlingTees.com. Great website. You know, definitely if you want to get to some of your indie wrestlers out there and you want to get to, you know, a lot of the great stuff they come up with. There's some great stuff on there. I got to be honest. There are some really great stuff they have on there. And it's just a really cool-looking site with some of the great wrestlers that they got. You know, I just saw one with Scott Hall, Macho Man, you know, just some really cool stuff on there. They definitely got a good thing going with Pro Wrestling Tees. Check us out on there. Thank you for joining us tonight on our show. So, until next week, sir.
Yeah, I'll see you next week, and we'll have more positivity to talk about.
We always have positivity to talk about here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. Hashtag PWP Radio. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. Have a great night.